John Wood joins us by phone tonight. He's a former senior executive at Microsoft who left that career to create his award-winning nonprofit, Room to Read. He's a member of the advisory board of the Clinton Global Initiative, a five-time winner of Fast Company Magazine's Social Capitalist Award, and the recipient of a presidential citation from the American Library Association, as well as a Henry Crown Fellow at the Aspen Institute. He has twice been named by Barron's as one of the world's 25 most effective philanthropists. John Wood is an adjunct professor of social entrepreneurship at New York University. Tonight, we're going to talk about his book titled Creating Room to Read, A Story of Hope in the Battle for Global Literacy. I'm happy to welcome you to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start off at what seems like the beginning point for Room to Read, which is that you really give full credit to your parents for not only being great models at volunteering, but also completely supporting this dream, your Room to Read dream, when you decided to leave Microsoft. Connected to that, there's what seemed like an aha moment to me in your life when you are in Nepal for a trek. You're there to climb. Would you tell us about that?
Yes, I was in Nepal in 1998 for a trek, trying to take a break from the hectic life of the technology world. I was on my second day of trekking when I met a headmaster who wanted to show me his school. So I took a tour with him, 450 kids showing up every day, dilapidated conditions, dirt floors, no desks, and a library that was completely devoid of books. And I asked him, how can that be? 450 kids, zero books? Seems like something's out of whack here. And the headmaster said, well, in Nepal, we're too poor to afford education. But until we get educated, we're always going to remain poor. And that just struck me as a really cruel catch-22 to think, how can you tell a kid that at age 5 or 6, you've lost the lottery of life? You're not going to get educated. That, to me, just seemed like a very cruel fate.
There are some very interesting numbers in your book. The number of people who cannot read in the world, want to tell us about that number?
There's two key numbers for me. One is that over 200 million children in the developing world woke up this morning and didn't go to school. Think about that, 200 million kids and all that potential energy that will never be realized. And then about 780 million people in the world today are illiterate. Two-thirds of those are girls and women. So if that doesn't change, nothing changes, because once you get women educated, then the next generation also gets educated. Those are pretty daunting numbers. And what I said is, don't let yourself get frustrated by that large of a number. Just go out and build one school at a time, one library at a time.
And how many have you created since?
1,600 schools have been opened. And I should mention, this is under a community co-investment model that I'll talk about with your permission, Barbara, in a second. We've opened 15,000 libraries. So what started was just one little library in 1999 has now spun way beyond what I thought it would. We're opening 6 new libraries a day on average, a new library every 4 hours.
You have an interesting and obviously successful perspective on nonprofits. Talk about being instigators, not administrators, and about the challenge grant model, if you would.
I'm a big believer in the idea that you can't help people if they don't want to help themselves. And I really don't even like the word charity, because it really, to me, it just turns people into passive aid recipients. Maybe I'm not a good guy, but if I see somebody begging in the streets, I'm kind of like, why is that person begging? Like, what can you do? Can you help that person get a job? Can you help that person to better themselves? And I think education ultimately is the best hand up, not a hand out. So what Room to Read does is we work in cooperation with local communities that are empowered, that are hungry for their kids to get educated. And we have a program called the Challenge Grant, which says to the community, we'll work with you. We're not going to do it for you. We're going to do it with you. So the parents will come out. They'll dig the foundation. They'll pick up shovels. They'll pick sand up from the river and carry 100-pound bags of sand up from the river to mix into the cement. They will build the bookshelves. They'll paint the walls of the library or the school. We enlist the parents very much in every single project so that they feel a sense of ownership and they have a sense of skin in the game. What really works well for Room to Read, then, is we work only with really motivated communities, because we know that these parents feel a sense of pride and a sense of ownership, because we didn't do it for them, we did it with them.
There are obviously tremendous rewards in bringing these important resources to people. Tremendous difficulties, too, everything from printing books in many languages to the tsunami in Sri Lanka. Is there one that stands out that was particularly challenging?
I think for us, some of the biggest challenge was getting a local language publishing initiative off the ground, because in so many parts of the world, kids don't have books in their mother tongue, which sounds kind of unusual that kids wouldn't have books. But what happens is, when people are really poor, the for-profit publishers overlook those languages. And that's really, for a lot of kids, that's where poverty starts. They don't have books in their own language. How are they going to get educated? So Room to Read decided that we would enter the publishing game, if you will. We're doing it as a nonprofit, but we are publishing books written by local authors and illustrated by local artists that have been through our training programs, so that kids have books in their mother tongue as well as having books in English so they can hopefully grow up bilingual. We've produced now over 850 original titles. Over 8 million books have been printed by Room to Read. Over 12 million books have been distributed by Room to Read, including our English language books. And it's really a lot of fun. We're going to actually this year publish our 1,000th original title.
I would think that you must have a treasure trove of stories as you've gone around the globe and met people who are involved with you. And I'm wondering if you might share one with us, a particular child or an adult.
Yeah, sure. In the new book, Creating Room to Read, I tell a story about a boy I met in Vietnam. He's about 14 years old in the Mekong Delta down in southern Vietnam. Very hot, steamy day. The library is opening. The band is playing. There's 1,000 kids who are excited because they're cutting the red ribbon on the new library. And after the ribbon was cut, I was walking in and a boy came up to me and he shook my hand, firm handshake, looked me in the eye and he said, "Mr. John, I want to thank you for our library. I'm very excited." And I said, "You must be. Well, let's go in together. You must be excited to use the library." He said, "Well, let me know a little secret." The night before, he had climbed in through the window. He was so excited that he had a library in his community. He had a flashlight, and he read books by flashlight. And he said, "Mr. John, I read 9 books last night." And I think about the power of that one example, and then multiply it by the 7 million children we've reached so far. I think, what can possibly happen here is if we unleash this energy on the world of kids who are educated, who are peaceful, who are prosperous, who are stable. Like it or not, we live in a really globalized world. There's no more drawbridges. There's no more moats. The world is as interconnected as it's ever been. And even global companies like P&G, where are they investing the most heavily right now? Well, they're trying to really get out to those frontier markets like India, Indonesia, Vietnam, places like that. So I think that if the world is getting more increasingly interconnected, we certainly want our neighbors to be peaceful and prosperous and stable and to really be part of the developed world as opposed to being part of the forces of darkness we see when kids are encouraged to join the Taliban. I'd rather see a kid in school.
John, on behalf of, at the very least, us former English majors, I want to thank you for this important work that you're doing around the globe, and thank you very much for visiting with us tonight.
Thank you for having me, Barbara. I enjoyed the conversation.
I've been talking with John Wood about his book, Creating Room to Read, A Story of Hope in the Battle for Global Literacy. You'll find more information at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.